Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's Monday, August 27th, regular city council meeting. And if you would all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and for wisdom for the city council members as they make their decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1.4 is roll call, and we have all council members present. Item 1.5 is citizen input. This is the segment of the city council meeting where citizens have an opportunity to address the city council. Is there anyone here who would like to address the council tonight? Please raise your hand, and I'll recognize you. Okay, hearing none, we'll move to the approval of our agenda tonight.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is the consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now we'll move to our current business. 4.1 is an ordinance amending the Othello Municipal Code, Chapter 17.61, titled Off-Street Parking. And Ann Henning, our Community Development Director, has a staff report after our last public hearing.
So, do you remember last time we talked about the parking ordinance, and there were some things we talked about changing? So I have tried to make those changes as directed. So we had a chance to read them. I did want to talk about the provisions about when would parking, sometimes would parking be triggered for redevelopment or remodel at site, because that was brought up, that was not clearly addressed in the ordinance that was written. Previously, it's just that any remodel. So I added in the language that the planning commission had discussed that would trigger for maximum parking, which was... It's on the number 4, second page, H2H, remodel addition repair of existing building would cost exceeds 25% of existing assessed value of the structure. So that would be a point of discussion if that's the appropriate point for where, for instance, if someone had a parking lot that upgraded their building, the condition for the building or remodeling, would they then have to pay the parking? I don't know the rest of them. There was a discussion, things to talk about. We talked about when parking would be required if the... If parking is required to be paved, and it's not construction, because the street isn't paved, but then how do you require it to be paved after the fact? And so the condition amended the covenant. And also, what if that covenant is missed? So I asked the language of, no matter what, when the street's paved, parking lot needs to be paved. The size of the parking spaces on an alley was brought up that they should be larger. My brother said the planning commission at the meeting last week, they recommended rather than preparing larger parking spaces, that they set back when the parking spaces are off of an alley. I guess in the same place, but it is the way that the planning commission recommended it last week. High schools, it was brought up, it was unclear if that they would be required parking for an auditorium as well as for high school students, which would be a double requirement, and so that was clarified out. And then added a language about the possibility of connecting to the city storm sewer for a redevelopment site.
Counsel? These were the changes we discussed.
Yep.
Are you satisfied? I like this part about the exceeding 25% of the existing assessed value with regard to having to pay the parking lot and that. Before, if we did anything...
Right, it didn't work at all, actually, with Trader, which is hard to do if they're a small project that's a big expense to acquire a small project.
Okay. So, Ann, you recommend that we adopt this ordinance change? Okay. Entertain a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve ordinance amending OMC 17.61, off-street parking.
Thank you.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to item 4.2, which is the sign regulations.
So this one should be much simpler. This is really just correcting, it started with correcting one small error and then I found a few other smaller ones. But the main one that needed correcting is that, if you recall before, the table that had the sign types in it, looks like this. He's got columns to say whether the signs are allowed, A allowed, E exempt, like P prohibited. And so in the changes that were made, I did not take out where it said a sign that is allowed A in the table. And so it just needs to strike out that A, or a sign type is listed in the following table. It makes sense. We're just striking out that A. And then I found an O that was missing, a period that was missing, just really minor things that we need all of it.
Yep, counsel. Any questions? All right. I'd entertain a motion to adopt the ordinance amendment to 14.58.030 titled Sign Regulations.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Ann. Item 4.3 is a facility use agreement and resolution for CBHA Color Run. Amy?
Tonight is a new facility use agreement, so it's exciting. We usually come back with same as always. So this is a new opportunity for the City of Ocala to partner with Coney Mason Health Association. This year they decided to hold their annual health fair on their own facility, since their new facility about them space and seems like an appropriate venue for them to hold an event like that. However, we're not missed out on the opportunity to partner with them for an event. This year, CBHA is planning their first annual Color Run, or Run for a Cause. Color Run is some sort of marathon. This particular one will be 3K, and they'll stop at designated areas along the way and be blasted with colors. And each stop has a different color. So at the end of the run, the idea is that you're very colorful from head to toe, symbolizing that you stopped at all of the places along the route and followed the correct path. The run will begin at CBHA and will run down towards Kiwanis Park and then up towards Main Street, east on Main Street, back down 14th Avenue. This facility's request is for use of Kiwanis Park as one of the stops, Pioneer Park as one of the stops, and then the majority of the run will be in the city's right of way via sidewalk or crossing the streets. I have met with the police chief about this originally, the aspect of safety and any concerns that he had in its initial training stages. Most of the concerns, I think, are alleviated until now. One of the main concerns that is left is how many people will attend, and that's not something that we can actually predict until the event either gets closer or has already commenced. Going forward, we should have a pretty good idea of what kind of attendance to expect or kind of shooting in the dark as far as this year goes. I know that Kristen Stevenson, who is the CBHA representative I've been working with, is very hopeful that there's a large attendance. I see a lot of value in an event like this. It's something new to the community, and I think people are going to get excited about it. Costs $10 to participate, and all that money will be donated back to an annually designated charitable cause, this year being local families who struggle with childhood disabilities, so sort of on the heels of SM Awareness Month that the mayor proclaimed earlier in August, along with the Nieves and Valley bonus. There's some street crossings that will be blocked off, so traffic will be interrupted for short amounts of time. Other than that, it's very little impact to city staff or facilities. Any questions that you have to answer?
Council? No? Thank you, Amy. I'd entertain a motion to, for authorizing the mayor's sign the facilities agreement for the CBHA Color Run.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.4, thank you, Amy. Item 4.4 is site development agreement with the Othello School District, and Community Development Director Ann hasn't gone far. And it's also part of our water plan.
Yes, and very much needed. And we need to acquire our sites because there's funding that's.
Questions, council? I need a motion.
I'll make the motion to authorize execution of the site development agreement between the city and OSD for a reservoir site.
Second.
I just have a question for Kelly. Mm-hmm. So when we, the school district is, their board have acted, and then once we act on this, what happens? Is this then filed with the county? How does, what's the process here?
Yeah, well, you would file this like you would anything else against a piece of real property. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have that. Also, what we'll record is the deed, which is attached as an exhibit to this site development agreement. And we'll, of course, that, once you record that, it's in the city's name. It's the city's property. Yeah, so we'll take care of getting everything recorded.
Okay. Very good. All those in favor of authorizing the mayor to sign this site development agreement to the Othello School District, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And then now, item 4.5 is contract renewal for CINPAS for City Hall and Public Works. And Becky?
One was due in July, one was due in September, so we figured it easier to put on taking two contracts into one and just bring it to come to work and we twice a year. But the services are the same, the terms are the same, the frequency is the same. There's just been a slight increase in the weekly rates, a couple sets here and there on each one. I brought the contract to Spencer prior to bringing it to council to really affect the budget and just measure the fully to make up much of a change. So before you just the contract, the new contract for 2018 was both contracts and one.
Any questions, council? Okay, I'd entertain a motion to renew this contract with CINPAS for City Hall and Public Works.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
Now to item 4.6 is to the air quality policy. Amy?
Good evening again.
Yes.
So what I have before you tonight is a draft, or I guess an idea into a draft. Last year, air quality was an issue, and we struggled at the pool to decide what to do during the fires that were up in the Wenatchee area. We suffered from severe smoke conditions down here, but there wasn't really anything that I found other than opinion whether or not to close the pool. And I was trying very, very hard to operate in a non-opinionated way and have some things back up decisions that are made. So if somebody were to question or question a judgment that was made, we had something to fall back on to say, this is the metric we use, this is the guideline or the policy that we follow. I didn't take any action last year. We seemed to be able to get through it just fine. This year, we have also had some air quality issues, and I was contacted by a couple of local communities around us and questioned as to why our facility continued to be open in the conditions that we were. And I was very clear to me at that time that I should probably begin doing some sort of research onto what some possible guidelines or policies could be as far as air quality goes. So what I put together is a draft of a policy that I borrowed from another city. This particular policy is, as it pertains to air quality, it's a section of a much larger inclement weather policy that this city has in place, from lightning storms to dust storms to smoke and the whole gamut, but I don't feel like we need to get quite down to that point yet. However, it is very useful for not only staff but the public to have something to judge whether or not a facility or an activity is going to be open. I've chosen to use the Department of Ecology's website. I believe that it's important that as a city municipality we follow state guidelines and state guided websites. You can get an air quality rating off of WeatherBug, off of the Weather Channel app, off of many different sites and locations, and it can vary as few as a couple of digits, up to 50 or even 100 digits, depending on how frequently their system is updated. The Department of Ecology's website has two air meter reading stations. The two closest to us are Moses Lake and NISA. So I have been following NISA's air quality report over the last couple of weeks. While following that, we have closed the pool facility two times when we exceeded 151 rating in air quality, which, as according to their air quality conditions, is unhealthy for everyone to be outside. The policy lines out steps that should be taken under unhealthy for sensitive groups, and then this next action step comes in at unhealthy for everyone. So as unhealthy for sensitive groups, anybody who suffers from respiratory issues or is considered a sensitive group would be free to leave work. In particular, how this affects me as the pool. I work in the Public Works Department, so I see this policy affecting more than just the lifeguard staff, but all of our maintenance staff that's out putting in fire hydrants or mowing grass in the park or doing any strenuous activity. And I believe that we should value one person's health just the same as another person's health, regardless of what their position is. So we will send lifeguards home that have those issues and find a way to either make up the difference for them not being there or cover their shift. If they have sick time that they can use, they're more than able to use that to compensate for any hours lost. And then once the air being reached unhealthy for everyone, having facility closures and maintenance operations would come to a standstill. As that pertains to the pool, we would close the facility. We canceled one week of fall softball season that we have so that coaches didn't have kids out practicing in those conditions, nor did we have kids out playing in those conditions, and sort of snowballing it, so we didn't have maintenance staff out chalking the fields in those conditions and kind of so on and so forth. This last weekend, we had Chicago State, and I contacted the director of that event and told him on Thursday that this was a policy that I would like to implement for this weekend. That if it wasn't going to be safe for the tournament to happen, for his players and for our staff to be out there, that it probably would be a good idea to make a decision ahead of time. And he said, absolutely, we'll make the decision Friday at 12 o'clock so we can let teams and players know whether or not to travel into town for the tournament. So I have put this into practice, not just at the pool, but as far as city implemented programs and even out of the city's control events. And I've had very little resistance. If any comment to be made, would be appreciative that the thought was being given to staff and people that participated in the events. So, one other attachment that you have, I really just did this for simplicity. I sort of tried to make these two match so that at the pool we post these side by side. And again, a fair explanation as to what steps the city takes when we reach a certain level, and then what that looks like going back down the chart as we reopen facilities and require staff to return to work if they have chose not to come to work because they were considered a sensitive group in the unhealthy for sensitive people category. And I attached the draft of the policy. I'm waiting to hear back on legal's perspective. What I'm looking for tonight, I guess, is just consensus to move forward to sort of mail out the rest of the details. That this is something that you guys would like to see moving forward. So that's what I'm here for tonight.
We want to keep everybody safe. Kelly, you're in the process of that, of the. Or have you already had a chance to?
Yeah, well, I've reviewed what council's reviewed, and I've dealt with this issue in the past, both as an attorney and as a member on a board for one of our local soccer clubs in Spokane. And this is common that cities do this. Not every city has this policy, but it's certainly something that a lot of cities do. And, you know, the ratings, I mean, this is all based on the EPA and our local state Department of Ecology guidelines. One thing I would recommend, though, if the city does adopt this policy, is that we expressly incorporate it into our facility use agreements. I do it across the board, but you want to pay particular attention to those for events that are going to be occurring during the fire season. But I would include it in all, just so that it's in there and it's not caught on. Nobody's caught on by surprise because, you know, a lot of these organizations put a lot of time, effort, and money into putting on these events. And it'd be good to just make sure that's in the facility use agreement so that everybody knows about it in advance and, you know, can't claim to be blindsided by it, even though the policy's published and whatnot, it's out there. People don't know about it. So if you put it in the facility use agreement, it's right there, and they know about it, and they should plan for it.
Okay. Council?
Well, I think with the last few seasons that we've had with fires, I think this is not just a move forward, you know, nod. I think this is a necessary thing, and I thank Amy for all her work on this. So.
Thank you, Amy. Anyone else? So shall we move forward?
Yes. Well, Richard, with an actual policy to take motion to implement.
Right. Thank you. So now we'll move to item 4.7, the 2019 budget process and committee schedule. And Spencer is ready to get started on our budget.
Yes, thank you so much. This is the coming year where we're starting our budget season.
Just too excited.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. See the enthusiasm already?
I know. Where's the balloons? I mean, yeah, I know.
I want to do a few things really quick. One was give this a quick overview of the budget process for the next 6 months. From today, actually from starting a few months ago, leading to late November or early December when we finally pass the budget, and then I wanted to go through the proposed possible calendar for the budget committee meetings that we can talk about when we can work that in your schedules. So the first thing is that with the budget here, it started back in July. July and August and September are our must-wear. We as department heads are hitting our budgets pretty heavy. We're looking at expenses that we've had over the last couple of years in different areas and where we think we're going to end up this year. And then then we use that information to build a preliminary budget for next year. And so that's what we're doing right now. We'll bring all of those items together in our budget committee meetings, maybe later part of September, early October for sure, the first half of October for sure. And we'll talk about some capital items, we'll talk about some requests and direction for the city. We'll bring all of those items together in November, where we have a series of budget. We usually split our funds into two different meetings, and we hit all the funds in two different meetings. We'll hit everything together as a whole council together. Those are those meetings in November. And then either late November or one of our first meetings in December, we'll pass our final budget. This is what we did last year, what we've been doing for the last couple of years. Ultimately, this is your budget as council members, and I want the process to work for you. In the past, this has been a pretty seamless path forward to passing our final budget. But if there's something that you want to see different, we can certainly implement different things that are going to help you pass the budget that you're most comfortable with. And so my office is always open. We can always talk about anything budget related. So the other item that I wanted to bring up for your perusal is the 2019 budget committee schedule. We divided the budget committees into seven. And C6 here, maybe I can back up a little and see if we can still. Oh, that's too bright. Can you read that still?
Yep.
I don't need a decision tonight. If you're ready to make a decision, great. If not, that's fine. We can hit this at another evening. But if you can look through the different, the seven different meetings that we divided up the city into, we have the council members that were involved in those meetings last year, and the dates and times. We have these meetings aren't necessarily the regular committee that you're on during the year. They can be, but it doesn't have to be. This is your process, so we can do it however you want. So take a look at the committees that you're on. I have one committee that meets a little bit later. What day of the week is that? October 11th? That's on a Thursday. We have that meeting a little bit later to work with work schedules. And the rest of the meetings are all at noon. Down at the bottom, you can scroll up just a little bit. Down at the bottom, it shows the month of October, so you can see what day of the week these meetings are falling on.
I'll be gone that first 2 weeks.
So with that, we can talk about it a little bit, or you can take and cruise a little bit. We can hit it at maybe our next council meeting. So with that, if you have any questions, concerns, I'll follow your lead.
So John, you would miss three meetings?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm gonna be out from the 28th to the 14th.
So can you go to the? You said, oh, we're doing it all in seven. Okay. All right. So you would miss the water, sewer, the law enforcement, and the general government. Okay. Well, I mean, you've already made those plans, so that's happening. So the thing is, though, we do need to get advanced on our budget process, so we would probably just either ask another volunteer to attend, or we would just drop John's name off of those first three, and he still would be available for the park and rec.
Is that actually there now, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like Spencer said...
It's not the committees.
Not necessarily the committee.
These are budget committees.
These are, yeah, budget committee's separate from the other committees. So...
So if we need to take Councilmember Wallace off meetings 1, 2, and 4, do we have other order...
If I can help you out with the first two, if...
Okay.
That's what you want.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to be here unless we can change the dates to the end of the month, then I'm not going to attend them.
The following week's the IACC conference, and so now we're pushing it into November before we have these.
I'd love to jump on another one, but I just...
I'll do water and sewer. I've been on there half the time.
Yeah, but if you have any questions, you can't call me.
We're not making any big decisions, so we're just hearing them out.
Well, we can make it.
We can make it.
You guys think what we decide.
You know, if you want, we can go forward with those changes there, and then we can always be in my office, and we can...
Spencer will catch you up, yeah.
Not worried about it.
Okay. All right. That's good, Spencer. That's a good plan. Yeah.
Gina, and Angel here.
Okay. Good.
That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So now we'll move to item 4.8, the deferral of street and utility improvements for the Ochoa Short Plat. And our community development director, Ann Henning, has not gone far again.
So a short plat is approved administratively by staff, but a deferral of improvements is the process that goes through the planning commission for recommendation and the council for approval. So that's why you're here this night. So this plat is on 3 and 7. And so that's a lot of frontage. The reason for the plat is Avista plans to build a substation and they can segregate some property. And so they're planning it, but there's not going to be any development at this point. And then the only development for a while will be the substation. So what they're asking is to defer the street utility improvements to the future. And then that can be attached to the covenant that the city can call either when sites develop or if the surrounding area is developed to the point that the street and it fits with the area that's, you know, not developed now, there's not sidewalks. So it's a very simple process. Todd Walker from Avista is here if you have any questions for him. That's the project. I attached the covenant. If you wanted to see that, I'm working with Kelly on documents like this.
Kelly, do you have any statements you want to make?
No, I reviewed it. It looks fine.
Okay. Council, do you guys have questions? Are you ready to let Avista move forward subject to the covenant? I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve
the deferral of street and utility improvements subject to a covenant for the improvements in the future.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Ann. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Terry, I forgot to ask you, but could you just give a brief update of what you know on well number 3, like the depth? You know what depth we're at, and
I don't have. I got an email today from Kyle Harris, and he said that they were having discussions with Snyder, but there was nothing in it for the depth.
Okay. We'll get one at the next meeting. It's week by week, so Okay, so then we'll move to new business, and the first item is, does the council want to cancel the September 4th city council meeting?
I won't be in that day.
Okay.
Think we better cancel.
I think I need a motion.
I'll make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting's canceled. September 4th, our next regularly scheduled meeting would be September 10th. Okay? Council, item seven, we're also, excuse me, is there any other new business?
I have something.
Yes.
It's actually not really business, it's just something I'd like to get in a minute so I can take it to the people and say, there's right up at council, no problems. The fair parade, every year they bring it up about you can't throw candy for the kids because it's against city ordinance, and this year they're pushing it about no candy for the kids. I looked for it, I couldn't find anything, Becky looked for it, she couldn't find anything, so I just want something in a minute so I can take it to them and say, look, there it is, throw the candy. Okay?
So noted. Thank you. Any other new business? All right, the council will also receive department head report 7.1 and planning commission minutes. I did want to ask Anne, Terry Perez, did she attend?
Yep.
And how, what was her response? She liked it? Good. Did she do really good? Excellent.
Yeah.
More of that is needed.
So I close it out now.
So having no further business, I'll close tonight's meeting or adjourn at 7:09 p.m.